Some of us are ready, and I'd like to welcome everybody and make everybody comfortable. Gigi, we are coming to the end of our term, 5-year term, and as a portfolio committee, we really like to leave with our heads high, leaving behind a report for the next coming portfolio committee of pathways. On that note, I will say, let's deal with the second quarter report. Let's get correct information we need to leave behind. And on that note, I will say, Honorable Deputy Minister, I would like to ask the department to make their presentation. I don't know if the minister has got something to say before we start with our meeting.
Thank you, Chair. That's nothing to do exactly right. I think the objective of the meeting is to report accurately on the second quarter, and so that we, as we're moving into a transition situation, that we do that in good form. And indeed, you will obviously be with
you this morning. Thank you, Deputy Minister. DG, over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable members of the committee.
Sorry, there are four apologies. There's an apology from Honourable Dreyer, who has gone to constituency commitments. Honourable Gaila, not able to attend the meeting. Honourable King, when I'm not study leave. Honourable Colonel Party commitment. I don't know whether there's an apology from the minister.
Yes.
Any apology from the week? Okay, Honorable November, attending the Rural Development meeting. Thank you very much. Over to you, DG.
Thank you. You beat me to the issue of the apology for the minister because the question of the matter is certain. The answer is going to address it. Chair, this is the, we present before you the performance report for the quarter ended 30th of September 2013, which is a mid-year performance. I think just quite actually, the preface, I would like to provide the context of our performance management in the department. We have we have instituted a number of changes to processes during the year as we were reporting in the various stages last year around changing corporate practice, corporate culture, etc., etc. Part of it is what we picked up in the as we were going forward in the various areas, as also as part of a turnaround process. You will see that as you were complaining at the beginning of the year, and certainly as we started the year and were doing evaluations, performance evaluations in the year, we realized that some of the, most of the issues you raised are beginning to come up and for which we are now putting corrective measures. The whole process of planning, we have reviewed it so that we improve on the planning processes. Last year, for example, the last planning consolidated session of the department was held in November in order to prepare for the new year. And we have infused in that process most or all of the things that we picked up, some of which were issues raised by this committee. To the extent that we could not change the plan in here, we are reporting against it. You will see that there are areas of serious concern, very problematic. We acknowledge that we are putting, what we have done is to report against them as honestly as possible. Of the data, you will see some of it is not cannot create a beautiful image, but at least they are using, they were utilizing that in order to correct for the new year. For example, the issue of the revisiting the key performance indicators that we've been using over the years to effectively begin to say to align them with the standard and the principles for those as we go ahead and go forward. The new year's one you're going to see is going to be extremely different from what we had put in place. But we will report against those, and as we discuss, we will that some of those areas will be able to indicate the committee. The report will be broken into two parts as we normally do, which is the performance part, and then which is part A, which covers the highlights, achievements, and challenges summarized from the actual report that we provided to the committee. And then the part B will be the financial information, which covers the DPW and TMTE area. That part, I will ask the CFO to take us through. I will just cover the part A, and then share with you and introduce people. But these are the members of staff that we have got on the basis of the areas we thought will be appropriate. I'm not sure whether we could do those introductions or they can do them and they respond to it. To save time. The purpose of the presentation is to reflect on the second quarter aspect, performance and financial information for the year ended, that is ending on March 2014, but for the second quarter, which is the quarter ending 30th of September. We on slide 4 we simply cover the methodology, which I'm not going to cover it, deal with in detail. The methodology that we use in the process of dealing with performance management within preparation of this within the department, which reflects on a number of developments from a policy perspective that we introduced as part of the process that we introduced in the year. We've now got a monitoring policy, monitoring program, monitoring and evaluation program, and we have a toolkit that we are using in order to assess performance that we have approved in the second quarter of this year, of the year under review, which is now beginning to inform the practice, including the things that we need to develop emerging from that process. Then I'll go straight to program one, which is covered in the report from page 6 to 40. And this program is a general program that says to provide strategic leadership and support services almost similar across departments. We also cover accommodation needs of the department and the executive and governance structures that are in charge of the Department of Public Works. The areas that are involved is internal audit and investigation services, strategic management unit, monitoring and evaluation, intergovernmental relations, finance and supply chain management, corporate services units, broadband. The highlights, most of the activities of Program 1 generally seem to be inward focused. They are about the operations of the organization itself, with the exception of finance and supply chain to a large extent. They are supportive in nature and play a critical role in enabling the core department, core business of the department to achieve its objectives. Highlights and achievements. The first one that we record, the report under IGR, is the increased participation in the government structures, F-score accountability, F-score audit, risk management, and we may add also MINMEC and technical MINMEC, where decisions are taken and implementation plans are scrutinized. The department supported participation in the development of the 2014-15 annual performance plan. Issues related to the guiding document that shapes the strategic plan, operational and risk management champions that were trained to survive the department's exposure to the risk element. It also includes assistance that was provided to provincial departments of public health in also in developing performance indicators as part of our department's role and responsibilities in dealing with the issue of the concurrent mandate. And these issues are discussed at many. And these are the trade for monitoring and evaluation. We developed the supply chain management policy for best procurement, which seeks to cover, and you will see in the report, there are areas where there are indications that non-achievement may have been as a result of supply chain management problems, long processes that are involved in that case. And we have sought to deal with some with most of those issues. One of the key challenges facing the department is therefore in that environment, which is under finance. Also, within the department, had wellness programs with all regional offices, together with other government departments. These employee wellness, health and wellness programs range from emotional, substance abuse. These are the things that are about covering the state of the people that were utilizing in achieving our objectives. We produced a progress report on international human rights instrument in the mainstreaming of gender, disability, youth through recruitment, procurement, constitution of committee and job positions in all GW programs. There was a meeting that was held by the minister with the stakeholders, the women groups, lobby groups, the various groups, and then the disability, the organizations representing disability groups. Under Program 2, which is the largest program of the department, responsible for dealing with 48% of the budget, this program provides for the management of government's movable property portfolio in support of our government's social, economic, and functional political objectives. In line with the mandate of the department, the program seeks to achieve the first four strategic objectives of public works. And these are achieved through the strategic asset investment analysis sub-program, project and professional services sub-program, inner city regeneration sub-program, operations management, which is largely what we call regional coordination branch, key accounts management, prestige management. If we look at immovable asset management, whose strategic objective is to provide leadership in effective and efficient immovable asset management and in the delivery of the infrastructure programs. Achievement was that the management of property data in terms of assigned contract terms and conditions, relevant legislation and policy was achieved. A total of 1,516 property data were managed against the target of 1,453. Full participation of other government departments in DPW's workshops and user asset management plans, UMs, which are technical plans for managing an organization's infrastructure and other assets to deliver an agreed standard of service. I think there are other developments that and influence we want to we can report on, which we are currently we've started discussions with the relevant parties like Treasury, etc., on changing public works role in improving our ability to improve the development of those plans and the use of those plans as key instruments for ensuring that departments are able to comply with what we require in order to fulfill the requirements. I think I did record previously that one of the arguments we have is, for example, what are we going to do, how are we going to manage the issue of the UMs with Treasury in ensuring that budgets follow readiness, clarity of the plans, etc. And right now we have a similar process which is aligned with the medium-term budget allocation management process of Treasury. Prestige policy, spelling out the standards and norms in the operations to fulfill this mandate, well completed. And we had a discussion, what we call 10 by 10, which includes treasuries and public works, where we tabled some of these issues, and I would say from the meeting they were well received. We've got now non-standards. I think we started processing this through the government structure so that by the at the particular stage we'll be able to leave to we'll be able to reach cabinet as they consider our policy documents related to this. Department's critical role in the development of the precinct development plans within the city of Tshwane. We participate further in that. This plan includes West Capital and Paul Kruger Street in Tshwane. This is in line with keeping what government is agreed on with regard to dealing with Tshwane, the real Tshwane project, but enhanced to reflect on the current developments in that area. I think the second part is then developing a policy approach that we then utilize as we develop in the other areas across the country, in ensuring that the investment that government makes in that public work they make in order to accommodate departments is utilized appropriately. The precinct development approach to the various arms, and etc. We are now working on that. I think there was a presentation done that reflects on the direction towards that. Except that we then needed to make sure that there's clarity between that and the existing program that is been approved by government, particularly to get to the Tshwane program. Program 3 is the expanded works program, Chair, whose objective is to ensure the creation of work opportunities and the provision of training for unskilled, marginalized, and unemployed people in South Africa by coordinating the implementation of the PWP. With this program focuses on predominantly on the achievement of strategic objective 4 of the department's objectives. There is a critical role in promoting an enabling environment for the creation of short and sustainable work opportunities that eventually contribute to national goals of job creation and poverty alleviation. Providing technical support to municipalities in planning and implementation in implementing labor-intensive projects. In the second quarter, significant progress was made by municipalities in reporting their progress in the department, enabling the department to reflect on a definite figure about the performance of the program. We had agreed that there often would be a particularly dedicated presentation that is done on EPWP delivery quarter, as is normally done in MIMA, subject to the timing crunch for the collation of that information and its verification. But in this submission, where this is covered on page 73. Also, a large number of work opportunities were created with substantial improvements in the EPW participation amongst the designated groups. Program 4, which was aimed to promote the growth and transformation of the construction and property industry, promote uniformity and best practice in construction and movable asset management in the public sector. I think as we're looking at the planning and draft and then the organogram structure going forward, I think this is there is a debate taking place in the department around how we structure this program. We may find a solution whereby if once we upgrade, we may find a change in this program. But in terms of its current requirements, the program contributes to the realization of strategic objectives 2, 4, and 5 of the department. That's where planning policy is. We ensure transformation and regulation of the construction property industry, and we depend on program and largely a process or chain event driven in nature. It often experiences challenges such as delays in stakeholder feedback, etc. This is where we engage with other key stakeholders in order to formulate policies that are informed by practice. Highlights and achievements: consultations held with key stakeholders and EBSCO on draft EP policies during this period. Inputs consolidated and second draft guidelines developed in condition assessment for general business. Then the last program, which is the small power programs from a budget perspective, deals with the auxiliary and associated services. And largely covers for various services, including compensation for losses on the government assisted housing scheme and assistance to organizations for the preservation of national memorials, and deal with issues of protocol responsibilities for state functions. These are the activities that were delivered through the program. Infrastructure support provided to 4 planned and 6 unplanned facilities events. And in this case, we are largely dependent on and driven by our principal client, which is the president. And we have listed the events where we have had to provide infrastructure for the successful turnout of those events. I won't go through them. They were largely events that are driven from the president. Areas of focus or reflecting key challenges, and I think Chair, I'm making this context so that as we discuss those difficult areas and how we deal with them as we engage with the committee, we'll be able to contextualize this. The issue of capacity constraints as related to what's available, particularly for this group. Line function and planning is determining we are doing there are capacity constraints, they are across the board, and we are dealing with the planning of the responses in dealing with this, which will then have to fit into the HR plan to ensure that we are able to prioritize. I think one of the areas that we are always challenged with in the department is having to ensure that we do not, as we have identified at the beginning on previous years, overspend on our compensation budget while we have to increase capacity in the areas that are key to the department's requirements, which is the skills and the professional skills level. In the year under review, we have kept a very close monitoring on this issue of the competition budget, part of which resulted in the inability to fulfill all these capacity constraints requirements at the time when they are expected, because we needed to prioritize with due regard to the funding that is available for salaries. As I have indicated, the SCM processes have had to be looked at as they were causing delays in finalizing and therefore being able to deliver and assist the other areas of our organization. We've done quite a lot of work in that area during the period under review. which we including, I think part of it including, the work we're doing in relooking at the service delivery model that we are utilizing, and the role of supply chain in facilitating therefore delivery in that regard. That also, our response also includes, we have taken interns consisting of graduate students in commerce, largely in commerce and related areas, that we've been able to then utilize to augment the capacity at office as well as in various regions to help with processing of and administering of the supply chain management processes in those regions. IT concerns also we have identified as key challenges that we have to deal with and areas of focus, because we have realized that while quite a lot of systems are available, lack of integration within the systems in order to ensure that we are able to utilize and make use of the advantages of utilizing information technology were not being realized. In this regard, we were able to obtain expertise from outside. I hired an IT expert who has helped us in a lot of areas to guide the analysis of the problems, the development and automation of this, and linking it to the business processes that we require in the department. The last one is the budget constraints. I think this one, our chair, is generally affecting everybody. But what we want to do is to ensure that we have a governance-based budgeting process that begins to recognize the limitation of the budget, but also to maximize the ability of the department to achieve the objective. The purpose of developing budgets based on the relationship between program funding levels and expected results of that program is what we are now busy with to infuse into our processes. We have taken into consideration, Chair, and we will continue to use and implement them, your comments and your inputs into the processes of the department. The AG recommendations and our audit and risk management committee engagements. I think since we have appointed the new audit committee, they have kept every area in the department on their tools, despite the as key governance structure. I think some of the areas that we have now identified this week, most of them have been confirmed by them, and have ensured that we are on our tools with respect to developing responses to those challenges. The contribution by these bodies ensuring the programs are effectively monitored towards achieving their goals in internal control, tightened to cap misconduct that may hamper service delivery, is appreciated by ourselves. I think that is the end of the performance information part. I will then hand over to the CFO to quickly run through the financial information part of our performance.
Okay, thank you, Chair, honorable members, and GM, colleagues. I'm going to present to you the financial information or financial performance of the department for the quarter that ended at the end of September. And take this opportunity to just say compliments of the new year. we left for 2 more days to say that. I'll deal with the main vote and PMTE later on.
Can you please introduce yourself?
My name is Cosmo Khoro. I'm the Chief Finance Officer of Public Works. Thank you. just the contents of the presentation, I'll deal with the, as I did say, the main vote, which is Public Works. Under that, I'll deal with the expenditure per program, per branch, per region, and what earmarked funds are, and the performance for PMTE right at the end of the presentation. Just starting with the main vote, we had a budget allocation of over 6.2 billion rands for the year starting 1st of April 2013, ending on the 31st of March 2014. The total budget allocation of what they intended to spend is about 6.2 billion. Expenditure, as at the end of the second quarter, which is the end of September 2013, was a total of about 2.7 billion rands, which in percentage terms is 43% of the total allocation, which means that in terms of the benchmark or the linear average that set by National Treasury, if we're to spend equal amounts on a monthly basis, we should be looking at 50% of our extra allocation having been spent and at the end of the second quarter. So we came short 7% of the 50% to a figure of 2.7 as opposed to 50%. If you compare the very same percentage spend with a similar period in the previous financial year, we had then spent about 52%. So in actual fact, in the previous financial year, we had overspent by 2% in terms of a linear average. And this year, we had underspent with 7% of what we had intended. In terms of the expenditure of the classification there that I have is per economic classification, details the nature of the expenditure items that you spend money on. For compensation of employees, we had a budget allocation of about 1.5 billion. By end of September, we had spent about 707 million rands, which accounts for 48%. If you compare this relative expense expenditure classification with the one in the previous year, similar period, by then we had spent about 52%. So this just underscores the point that the DG made, that in this current year, we took a view that we're going to closely monitor the spend on our compensation so that we can avoid a situation of having a underpriced expenditure, which has been something that has been perpetually or recurring in the previous period. So 48% as of the end of September, which is 40% of the year having elapsed, we spend 48% of our composition of employees. And this is not because we decided not to engage or appoint or fill vacancies. We just took a view that all those contractual engagements that we had, at the time when those contracts came to an end, we were not renewing them, something that was different practices from what had happened in the past, where these things were contracts were just renewed continually, resulting in the stresses that we had experienced before. Under goods and services, we're setting it up a spend of... under goods and services, which is all the other goods and services except for the office accommodation, we have spent about 37% of our 826 budget, that's at the end of September, an amount of 320. Under office accommodation, we spent about 112 of the 504 million rand dollars allocated, which is 22%. And the transfers and subsidies, these are all the transfers that we do to our entities and under EPWP, we had gone to the extent of about 53% of the allocation. Alarmingly, and as you know, our infrastructure capital expenditure budget, allocation of 2026 by end of September, we had spent 141 million rands, which is 1% of our spend, and on our machinery and equipment, we had spent 80% of our 102 million rands allocation, which is about 33 million that we spent. Giving us an overall picture of total allocation of 6.2, spend of 2.7, which is 43%, and compared to the similar period in the previous year, about 52%, we had underspent by 7% in the current year. The same report given in different, looked at it differently. I've taken that and put it under the how we're doing with each and every one of the programs. as we have under Program 1, we had this administration. Our total allocation is about 1.1 billion. We spent 400 million, which is 35% of our allocation for the 6 months ended September. With the largest program in the department is the Immovable Asset Management Program 2. We had an allocation of about 3 billion. We had spent about 1.2 billion, which is 42% of what the allocation was. Under EPWP, 1.9 billion allocation. We spent about almost a billion, which is almost on the mark in terms of the period that has elapsed, which is 50%. Under the Property and Construction Industry Policy Regulation, as well as Auxiliary and Associated Services. These are the smaller programs that we have in the department, with the property having being on the mark of the 50% reflect of the period that elapsed, and with Auxiliary and Associated Services, 59% that we've spent against the 50% being our average. So again, that's just a different modeling and different interpretation or different presentation of the budget on a program by program basis. Just a little bit of narrative on the figures. The overall expenditure for the department was at the end of September is 3.7 billion, and expenditure is equivalent to 43% of the total allocation, which is at 7% less than the guideline of 50% because of the year that elapsed. Compensation of employees, expenditure for the month ended September is 707 million, and the amount spent is equivalent to 40% of the total allocation, which is just below the 50% guideline, as I did indicate, a reflection of the tight control we had on this line item. We were anticipating that we may increase the pace of spending on compensation may increase because of the spending of the professionals that we had indicated we have an appeal. These have happened, but still, to the best we are speaking, we are still in line in terms of our allocation of compensation. And goods and services expenditure for the month ended September 2020, which is equivalent to 37% of the total allocation, and for office accommodation is 32%, and this is largely due to the reconciliation of all the claims by PMTE to the department for all the office accommodation that they are utilizing both at the original offices, and that process has been completed by now. The expenditure for transfers and subsidies for the end of September is about 1.3 billion, and expenditure is 43% of the total allocation, which is 3% higher than the guideline given. And the detail of the transfers that we are making would be to the Council for the Built Environment of Commonwealth, World Grave, the CIDB, which is our entity, the augmentation to the PMTE, and all the transfers to PMTE, to EPWT, EPWP on the non-state sector, which are NGOs, non-governmental organizations, and to the provinces and municipalities. The NET, in terms of the request for funding for the year, and to the parliamentary villages to keep the parliamentary villages transportation runs. The infrastructure expenditure for the end of September is 141 million, and this expenditure is 21% below the allocation, 21% of the allocation of the for the year, which was 676. An amount of 200 million rands in this regard has been we've earmarked it to adjust to cover potential overspends in other areas from this expenditure. The one thing that we can say about this line expenditure is that it has attracted a particular attention throughout the department, wherein we have actually devised a come up with a whole overall strategy of our project execution methodology going forward. And I'm sure as time goes, we'll come back to the committee to share that approach to this house. And under machinery and equipment expenditure for September of 30 million, 30% of the allocation of 102 million. The expenditure of a program in terms of each one of the programs, just a little bit more detail. If you take program one, which is administration, just taking it into a little bit more detail. For economic classification, We have itemized that in control program one, has spent 35% of the allocation. There is a, and the reasons why this is happening is because of the slow billings with respect to certain of the turnaround projects to claim in terms of the interventions that have been there. Some of them have come a little bit late, and so we start to see the spike in expenditure in this area in program one, as most of the projects and turnarounds are sitting here, as well as in program two, which is sitting at 42% under goods and services, which is on slide 30. Goods and services is sitting at 32%. That's where, again, a number of our turnaround projects are sitting, and one of which is the physical verification of the movable assets. And that project is running full steam, and we'll see a significant spike in the spending there coming up. And I did indicate that an infrastructure budget at 21% spent on the 626, the projected underspend of about 200 million, we will utilize it in other areas where we believe we're going to experience some pressures, especially with regards to the turnaround projects. On slide 31, it is just a narrative of explaining the program 2 expenditure, that the expenditure for program 2 is 1.2 million and is equivalent to 42% of the allocation. Composition of employees expenditure is 539, which is 48%, and goods and services 82, which is equivalent to 32%. The transfers and subsidies is 156 million and expenditure is equivalent to 53% of the allocated budget, with the exception of the IDT and the Parliamentary Village Management Board, which have received full allocation of full transfers. Other entities have received 50% of the allocated budget assets at that time. The infrastructure expenditure for the end of September 2013 is 141 and is equivalent to 1%, and machinery equipment is 24 million, which is much low in terms of the allocation of 69 million rents that is there. On program 3, which is the expanded public works program, we spent about 49% of our allocation of 1.9 billion, 949 million, just 1% below the linear or the guideline of 50%. Under compensation of employees, that's 46% that we spent. There's a few vacancies in EPWT that we will be filling, and under goods and services, 28% is aligned to the human capital structure there. And then transfers, we've shot up that 42% because all the money that we push to the non-governmental organizations and the provinces and municipalities for EPWT programs. And the amount for the machinery equipment is a small amount of 2.6 million, of which we only spend 500,000, which is 20% of that allocation. That's the narrative that I've already spoken to in terms of EWP on slide 33. I will then just move on to slide 34, which deals with the one of the smaller programs, which is a policy program. We have an allocation of 39 million. We've spent about 19 of 20 million, which is about 50% of our allocation was, and 33% of the spend to date on compensation, goods and services 19%, and transfers and subsidies is about 5,213%, which is an outrageous number. But however, this is only because of the transfer that was done on Agrima SA, which has been allocated to this program, which is not part of the budget of the allocation of this program. It's sitting somewhere else. It's sitting on the program, but a different economic classification, which is goods and services, whereas it's supposed to be transfers and subsidies. This is a matter that we are still finalizing in terms of the regularization of the Agrima as an entity. Once that is done, this situation will not arise. So that's where the bulk of that transfer and subsidies comes from. I think I've dealt with the narrative on slide 35. On slide 36, which deals with the auxiliary and associated services program 5, expenditure is about 59% of what we have allocated to date, the allocation to date, and 45% of which is goods and services of 27 million allocation, would spend about 12, and transfers and subsidies, 17 million spent to date, against an allocation of 23 with 75%, and this is largely because of the transfer to the Commonwealth of Graves that sitting in that expenditure item. I think that then we've done a little bit of a detailed per branch, just to for purposes of completeness, what each branch is spending, and the different economic classifications, composition of employees, goods and services. If you go on household machinery and equipment, just to indicate, you know, the pace of spending per branch or per branch, per se, branch and per unit in the department. That's how we report in terms of the activities of each and every one of the units in the department. In addition to that, we've then got a summary that indicates the expenditure, which is on slide 42, on per region, what each and every one of our regional offices is spending on their activities. And as you can see, the bulk of our compensation of employees allocation of 1.5 is a billion of that. It's on the regions themselves, which indicates, which is reflective of the nature of the activities of the department, that they are skewed more in favor of the regions. That's where the actual delivery is happening. Similarly, goods and services, household machinery, just an indication on slide 45 of what are the funds that are earmarked within the department that we cannot use for any other purpose but for what's intended for by Treasury. And I think of our total allocation of 1.7 billion, excluding your composition, which is of 6 billion, excluding composition, it's about 257 earmarked funds. I must get to the total. I mean, we didn't total this up. But that's a list of the funds that are earmarked within the allocation. And it's almost way above a billion, 3 billion, to look at this total of funds that you cannot use for any other purpose but for what's intended. They are ring fenced, and that's what it is. And you look at CIDB, the transfer, CE, IDT, GRIMA, parliamentary augmentation to MTE, all the transfers like EPWP, office accommodation, our infrastructure budget, our quarry fees, boundary fencing, state functions, and our CETA. That's on the main vote. That's a public voter funds presentation that indicates where we are. Like you said, we're sitting at about on the total allocation. We're sitting on about 43% of our budget having been spent, a total allocation of 6.2 billion, and to date we're sitting on about 2.7 having been spent. And here we're sitting at about 3.2 billion of the budget of the allocation we spent, and hence we will report some significant amount of expenditure at the end of the financial year, which is looming. Under PMTE, honourable members, on slide 48, we've got the financial performance of the entity. As you know, that we have operationalized this entity running. We're starting to put systems and processes in place to ensure that it can account for itself appropriately and accurately. In terms of the revenue, we had projected for the whole year that we will collect revenue to the extent of 7.6 billion rands. As of the end of September, which is 6 months of the period, we had collected or we had claimed from our various clients 3.7 billion. And of that 3.7 that we claimed, we have received today 3.2 billion of what we have claimed, which accounts for somewhere in the order of about 98%. The different categories of revenue or sources of revenue would be coming from our state accommodation charges, which is the buildings that we own as state, which we then lease out to our clients. With the total projected collection ratio of 3.6 We have claimed to date 1.8, and that's what we received. In addition to the accommodations that charges that we levy to our client departments, we also lease buildings from private individuals and companies, which we then lease to our clients, and that in terms of the total spend, in terms of the total projected revenues, about 3.1 billion. And to date, as of the end of March or September, we've collected about 1.4 billion, which is more or less sitting on about 44% of what we had intended to collect. And we are receiving, we've received about 968 of that to 1.4 billion. And then the management fees that we are levying, which is we pay manage our municipal services on behalf of other of our client departments, and for that we charge and levy 5% for that service, and that's the revenue that we collect in 145, but we protected, and we've today came to our 66, and we've collected 54. And the augmentation, which is the transfer, the allocation to PMTE to assist PMTE in its establishment. Treasury has it transfers 682 every year. Today we came to 341. This is just to for the establishment and setup of PMTE to set up its systems, and as we bring on over the years since the decision to establish the PMTE. So that's a direct transfer from the national fiscals from the department to the department, which the department then transfers to PMTE for its establishment. The expenditure is that in terms of where we're sitting today, we have collected 3.2 billion of our revenue. The expenditure is that was 3.5 billion on a cash basis, which means that we have a deficit of about 221 million rands in our books on a cash basis. And the current overdraft of the entity is set at about 1.3 billion. And I think we've had a fair number of iterations with respect to this overdraft and how we plan to deal with it in terms of what is this overdraft represented within our debtors books to be able to wipe it off. And I think that discussions we've had, and we'll explain even further later. Just the analysis of the expense of the PMTE, which is the expense of 3.5 billion that are indicated on slide 48. Just the detail of that is that the total allocation is also about budget. We have allocated 7.8 billion rand to pay against our services that we are providing in terms of what we engage. 7.8 billion for the year. We have, as indicated today, spent about 3.5 billion, which is about 5% of our allocation for that. And the main line expenditure items that we have is the cleaning and dumping services. So our leasing, our privately owned, the private owned buildings that we, the expenditure that we incur against the landlords. Then the big amount sits with our planned maintenance, which is about 3.7% allocation that we spent. Against which we spent about 1.4 billion rands, which is 38%. And under maintenance, we've got planned maintenance, which is about 2.4 billion allocation. Rehabilitation of our old to relic buildings, and the normal day-to-day that we are doing in terms of maintenance of our buildings, changing valves, fixing up the plumbing and all that. We allocated about 852 million rand spent for the whole year. Expenditure against those are indicated in there, with land maintenance sitting at 32%, rehabilitation at 37%, and the day-to-day 53%. Day-to-day is always an expense that we believe we will incur, and in most cases we actually overspent what we had allocated in that. We need the tighter management of this activity, and part of that is we've gone into the process of engaging term contracts to manage the whole day-to-day maintenance of our buildings. Then the property rate and taxes rates that you are paying, the total allocation is about 761, and today we spend about 349. And we, as you know, we have arrear property rates that we have to pay in terms of the devolved properties going back, which currently we estimate about 200 million. And because the things are coming very slow. We the spend of about 1.2 million that we spent to date. I first see the narrative that I've already given in terms of the analysis of that expenditure. And then on slide 52, it's just an indicator of the accommodation charges of state-owned projects. These are the projects that we own, that we are missing out and charging clients, and we've just taken the top 10 clients to indicate what it is that we're supposed to be collecting. And the collection from them or the charges from them is based on the what was devolved to these these departments in 2006 for us to be able to charge them. So the total of the top 10 clients of 3.6 billion, which accounts for almost 95% of the total state-owned accommodation charges that we are having. Top 10 accounts for that, which is 3.6 billion. We've invoiced them about 1.8, which is almost midway what we supposed to have invoiced them. And now we've received about 99%, so we have no issues with respect to the collection from our clients in terms of the properties that we own. The amount that's outstanding of 18 million rand there relates to signatures, and there's just been an issue of having to resolve a facility management contract for that, and the process is fully underway, and as soon as that is done, the 18 million will be fully recoverable from them, which is part of the house. Okay. I think I've explained, which is the narrative on the state accommodation that we collect 99% of what we have, what we claimed, so we have no issues. 55% of the definition of current year is between. Okay. And then on slide 54, based on the privately on the buildings that we've leased from privately owned by individuals or companies. And in terms of that, we lease these buildings to only to our client departments. Again, we've taken the top 10 client departments that we lease these buildings to, and what we supposedly have collected, or what we intend to collect from them, is about a billion rand in midway during the year up to end of September. We've invoiced a billion rands to them, and we've received about 768, which means that 65% that we collect from them. We collect 65%, that's 35% that we still need to collect from them, which is about 289 million. And the reason why is just the narrative on that, the total invoiced amount issued for the currency is 1.4 billion, which covers April to August only, doesn't include September. The September invoices were issued during October. This is all just looking big because we received our September invoice from the landlord in towards end of September. We can only issue it to the clients during October, and then they'll pay us in November. That kind of timing also that needs to happen. And the total amount received is 1.2 billion, to 20%, and 20% of this amount is towards the prior year balance, which means that almost a billion rand relates to the current year. And the 70% of the current year was paid at the end of September, and only 20% of the prior year balance was paid at the end of September 2013. And we've scheduled meetings as ongoing with clients to collect this outstanding amount. Based on what we did, we reconstructed most of these debt balances to ensure that we have the detail and supporting documentation to authenticate the claims that we have. However, this needs to keep going with our clients so that we can then collect the old outstanding debt. Then the top 10 clients, as you can see, represent 87% of all invoicing of the 42 clients that we have. So it's quite a, we've got 10 who account for 77% of our actual portfolio, which is, and if we focus our attention on those, we will then be able to manage those appropriately. Similarly, we've done the similar thing with the municipal services of the top 10 clients, that the total amount we claimed, which includes our management fee, is about 655. We've collected 425, which means outstanding is about 230 million. And on slide 57, all the claims are for April to August. We issued that, and the total claims issued for the current year amount to 1.4 billion, including management fees. The top 10 clients account for 96% of the claims issued, and 65% invoices issued to the top clients have been recovered, which means that 5% we will have to recover as we go along. And when it comes to the capital infrastructure budget, which we have to recover from our clients, what we do work for them, we do infrastructure projects, and then we pay after we pay the contractors on this. We have invoiced to the tune of about 665, and then we've received about 563, which is 85%, which means we actually don't have sufficient respect to the recoverability of what we have, what we spend for our clients, we recover fully. Similarly, on slide 60, with all the other, if you look at all the other recoverables, we said you must, with amounts of about, we claimed 197, we've received about 97 back, which is all infrastructure projects not included in the client's capital budget allocation. The ones that are included in the capital, in the client's capital budget allocation, which is sent to us, that's the one that I indicated, which is the capital infrastructure budget recoveries. These are ones outside of that. And the last one that relates to that is defense, which is sitting in an amount of 73 million that is set up to recover from them. I think this is the narrative on the same slide. And then we come to the debt. What's our situation in terms of the amount of money that are sitting with clients on slide 62? Sitting with our clients that we need to collect. You see that the total that is sitting with our clients for our collection is about 2.8 billion rands that sitting with our clients. Amount that relates to previous financial years, is about 1.6, and this figure is almost, it's going down very slow as we go along. I think the whole process of the of interaction with clients to collect this money is ongoing. The reconstruction has happened, and we believe that a significant amount of this will be collected in late time, just depending on the efforts that we are putting into the whole process. It's 1.7, so the previous year of the 2.7, which means a billion is all current in the current financial year, of which 580 is current and 223 is 30 days old, and 300 million is 60 days and older. That's the situation. On the capital budget, I think we've indicated this on the DPW side when I did the financial status of DPW to look at our DPW capital, which is in terms of spend. It's 163 against 676, and because of the accounting differences in PMTE and DPW, this is the amount that PMTE itself now spends for contractors on behalf of the main PW capital infrastructure, and that's about 24%. If you look at slide 65, we look at the client capital. We have a total allocation from clients of about 2.2 billion to spend on behalf of clients to put together infrastructure projects that they are building. Today, we have about 656, which is a percentage of 29% today. And because of the dire situation, the point that I made earlier, that we have gone into a process to overhaul our project execution modalities and model to accommodate the situation of the deal with the slow pace of spending. It's a consequence of the slow percentage that we see in with our capital budget for our clients. And if you look at the regions, the allocation of this kind of capital per region, that's where the bulk of the department's work is happening, that in essence, only of the kind of capital 2.2 billion allocation, 96 million is projects that are sitting ahead of us, the rest are sitting with our regions, which means that we need to bolster and capacitate our regions adequately to be able to accelerate the pace of executing the projects and spending related to that. I think that's the broad picture in terms of our financial performance to date as of for the quarter end of 30 September. That was the situation as then, honourable members. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mahon. Thank you, DG. Before engaging, let's go to page page 64, where you talk about there was an amount of 123 million. We are talking about expiring ocean returns before. What can you explain that paragraph? Yes.
You will recall that it indicates that we had projected to underspend on our capital budget to tune over 200 million, and which we needed to allocate to, which we believe we're not going to be able to spend on specific projects. We then took a view that to reprioritize our budget, we could spend this money elsewhere, and the intention was to acquire the building, Ocean View Terror, which is based in PE, in which we are in East London, in which we are accommodating a number of our client departments, and we are paying rentals, and it just doesn't make sense to pay the rentals as opposed to own it. So we thought we should consider the acquisition of that building. And
The acquisition of this building has been on the pipeline for a considerable amount of time. I think perhaps the way it's stated here does not provide the full effect of that. In our rollovers, when I saw the rollovers for the department, for example, at the beginning of the year, this was there, but wasn't funded, remained. Part of the things we want to do of rebalance is to begin to reduce the portfolio of leasing. It's only, I think, one of the things when you will need to fix now, going forward, is as part of the planning to identify the buildings we want to acquire in any one year, in order to, because some of the buildings effectively have been used by government since they were constructed. One, effectively we have been underwriting investment done by these private people, but there is no use by anybody other than government to some of these buildings, for which we pay a lot of rent. The asset investment management team went through the amount of cash outflow we have been paying on this, and there are other buildings. It's just that instead of us doing piecemeal, a matter that was decided on the previous year was to be funded out of the rollovers. When the funding didn't take place, people were the process was frozen. Only realized that we were not going to spend money, and therefore that should not have been frozen. I think it's part of changing the planning process. So when we, as we go forward, we will identify the areas where we want to buy and put them part of our upfront decisions for purchasing, and purchase them earlier in the year. This will identify the cost, and we had actually seen that we should have purchased this thing the previous year. Was being purchased, pushing the rollovers, didn't get the rollovers, didn't reprioritize the budget to reflect them on areas where the amounts that could be committed were actually going to be realized. It's part of our improvement with regard to this. And that is one of the rationale for this, Chair. As I think I need to state the truth and as I see it, given when we realized that it was in October, November, brought it back into line. I then asked the professional people to do a proper assessment as whether it's realizable, whether the full transaction is likely to take place within this budget. Because then if it is not, we need to identify and make sure that it is put in the projects for next year. We can simply account for it. If it's possible, it's fine. We can be able to finance it and account for it in the current year. But that's how we would have to deal with all the acquisitions. We, as part of our strategy of reducing this over-dependence on leasing for projects, for buildings that have effectively been developed for clients. Have always been used by them. Yeah? Clients have established a certain element of knowledge in those areas where these people are being serviced. And that's part of the thing that we are doing. so that we will need to effect the transition from what we're doing into the future in a proper way. So that's all.
Thank you, DJ. DJ, I think we need to have a slot to discuss about this. Because I'm raising this issue because there are neglected public works buildings that are not maintained. And we are adding a burden on public works, if I'm not mistaken, because if we can't maintain the present building that are there, are we going to be able to maintain the one that we are adding, buying? That's what we need to discuss about, DJ. And also, it was Runatal. I don't remember the name of the place. I think Ramagwan can mention the place. We had structures standing there, 80, while public works was paying rental. And we raised this issue to say, how can public works pay out rentals to buildings that are not utilized by public works and there are no people in them, they are just empty? Those are the issues that we raised. I think this one we need to pack it and we have to deal with it. I don't know separately. I don't know the things. Thank you very much. Honorable members, that's the presentation. Can we engage with the presentation? Over to you. Baba? Oh, there's tea. Oh, let's have 10 minutes, 5 minutes for tea break.
to correct this or to assist around the issue of low morale and
We want to know as a committee what is the reason of this low morale, because we want a report from the minister to say that it's like now in the department there is a buy-in by all the staff rallying behind the turnaround strategy. Now we are hearing about the low morale and so on. What is the department really doing? What is its plan, or what is it doing to try and remedy this challenge that is presenting? The other one, Chair, is on page 9. They are talking about the only reason, number 2, low integrity perception by audit clients, leading to low commitment of management during audit process. This is another problem. And also the inadequate and outdated audit methodology and processes that are still being used by the department. While we are hearing the saying that they have tried to deal with those particular matters of how to plan and so on. Why does the department use this old methodology and the processes, because they know that they are outdated, and what is the plan going forward around these particular challenges? Can they also unpack that low integrity perception, the cause of it, and so on? On page 14, Chair, you know, one of the other challenges of not making the target, and the reason is that the charter has not been updated. Page 14 of 83. The charter has not been updated and approved. RMC meeting has not yet convened, and there is no current chairperson of the committee. Really, this is unacceptable, because the understanding that there is no chairperson of the committee, the committee can appoint an acting chairperson, because this it is known that this is part of the target for the department. You can't just say there is no chairperson and you leave it as such. Maybe if we can be clarified, because our understanding is that even the acting chairperson is being appointed to deal with a particular task, rather than thinking that there was nobody to deal with it. And this thing of the there is no chairperson of the risk management committee to take the matters forward. This is a key for the risk management committee, that they have to focus on the risk in the department. But if you are saying that there is no chairperson that is going to take the matter forward, really it's unacceptable to us as a committee to say that you will have come up with some measures just to for a person that is going to deal with that particular matter.
Since January 2013, there wasn't any person to chair risk management committee. Since January 2013, if I'm not mistaken.
Continue, member. Yeah. It is really unacceptable to us in committee, because the department would have done some contingency plan, you know, to get people to deal with these targeted key target areas. And on page 16, Ethan, you know, the target not achieved. The reason being, the regional coordination has not provided the reasons for non-submission of the branch business plan. This one, Honorable Chair, is something that one does not really understand. What about the monitoring that the city has been talking about, to say that they are trying to strengthen the monitoring part and so on? Does it mean that the department does not have any deadline given to regional managers to submit the business plan to the department? If they do have, how come that they did not make a follow-up when they see that this particular business plan was not forwarded to the department? maybe if they can just share with us what does this mean. We can see that also the department did combine the business plan. But this thing of the regions not accounting to the department, and they just feel like not submitting, and then it ends that we are not hearing what measures were taken by department, even to discipline those particular people that were responsible to submit the business plan. And the other one is on page 35, and lastly we'll be on 40, and leave to the other members just to deal with the other. 35 of 83. Can department share with us there are number of, if they can share with us which category of employees are targeted to be vetted? Category. So that we know the target is in that particular category. If it is everybody in the department, we understand that it's everybody. And also around the issue, because this is a critical matter of vetting that is supposed to be done by department. But the achievement here is a problem. Because us, you know, we have got the leakages and everything that is taking place in the department before the department deals with the matter. And we think that if this particular target is not fast-tracked, so that we get people that are working in this department, because this department is dealing with critical matters, you know, and you find that there are leakages and so on, and the achievement is not really, nothing has been achieved, actually, if one can say that. Maybe if we can share with us what is the plan of the department, why it's delayed, and so on. And last picture is on page 40. Target not achieved, reasons in physical verification has not yet commenced due to 1. The finalization of the draft component, approval of secondary service providers, project execution plans, and configuration of the server for the software tool and security clearance of SSP fieldwork. You know, we got a report from the department that by March 2014, this is now 1 month before March, they assured us that they are going to achieve the compliance of the asset register by March 2013, but they will be focusing on the compliance side in line with the grant. But now we found that there are these challenges now towards the end of finalization of this particular matter. And we want to know what is the problem, what is the cause of all these problems now when we're about to complete, because we understand that it's not, it doesn't mean that we are going to get a credible asset rating for the country, but it's only on the compliance side. But also, if on the compliance side is a problem now, there are hiccups that are making this particular target not to be realized. We want the department to share with us what are the problems. We are looking forward for this asset register to be finalized, to be compliant, so that you continue to other end for 2016 as you indicated to us. Yeah.
Thank you, Honorable Mudofa. Honorable Mama Malala.
Thank you, Chairperson. And my first question is on the slide we're given now. The slide on the first one on the the supply chain management policy for better procurement, and it is said that it's still a challenge, but I'm not sure exactly when is the department is going to make this better, because this challenge has been there for quite a long time now. When approximately are they prepared to better that challenge they're facing? My second question is on the Rehabilitation Plan. You know, we have been talking about this for the past 5 years now. At one stage, it was mentioned that it is extended to other provinces. We changed again now, this is in Swahili. Now, I want to know exactly when is the department anticipating to finalize this project of Rihadi Satswan, because it has been there for quite a long time. Now 5 years, we are now existing. My other question is on the events financed by the department. I want to show, in fact, that the department is also financing events like a cabinet meeting, the hotel, some media, some breakfast, present, right? Breakfast, present, meeting with a press gallery, each visit. Now, I'm becoming confused now. Which are those financed by the department, by the public department, and which are those financed by the president's office itself? Because now, it seems now we are overlapping. I'm not quite sure exactly what's happening. Then, it was said that there are internships specializing on commercial field. If I can be clarified, approximately how many are they, and are they found in all the provinces? I'll stop the chairperson for now. I'll come back.
Thank you very much, Alan. DG, can you explain to the committee, you talk about, especially on target, you talk about partially achieved and not achieved, and in some instance you say not applicable. Can you explain the three? What is the difference so that we understand what you are talking about? I'll go to page 35. Add on what Honorable Madova said on victim. There are two processes, if I'm not mistaken, to be followed. Employees may be vetted by public works and also by NIA. Last year, the response that we got from you was that NIA is loaded and they won't have time of vetting public works staff. And now we are talking about 200 personnel vetted. Can we get an explanation there? Because if employees, public works employees are not vetted, will continue sitting with the problem of leaking of documents. Who are to be vetted? And is vetting already completed by NIA and also by public works? Go to page 43. Telling in where you say, is it page 43? The inadequate process in the training and implementation of accessibility projects starting from supply chain management, but then can we also have an explanation in this? Page 45, the regions that are not reporting as required to say, what are you doing about it? Verification and also verification of reporting of appointment control through supply chain management, still a challenge. What are you doing about it? Page 46. Targeting contractor registered to participate in the incubator program for the department and procurement. Yeah, complaining also raising an issue around supply chain management. What are you doing about this problem of supply chain management? Gigi, the issue of exchange programs with Namibia. When reading the target not met with Namibia, in my mind then came the issue of property that is in Namibia. I will bring it in. Last year you reported to us that property in Namibia was in the process of being sold. But there were problems because an individual in the Department of Public Works identified an individual to go and buy property in Namibia at a certain amount
attacked by the so-called person who identified by a buyer, and were informed that the process was stalled because there were still issues to be dealt with, if I'm not mistaken. That's what the report that we were given. To say, how far are you with the property that, with the property that is in Namibia? Has the property been sold? What is happening? Is the property standing there empty, dilapidated? What are we saying? What are you saying to us about that property?
Okay. Also on that particular matter, if the department can share with us, I don't understand us putting a target on something that is not finalized. I want to check when this particular target was put, you know, the one for Namibia is not achieved. They were talking about the Minister of Roads and something. A follow-up has been made to the minister, but now I forgot to put the page here on top. But what we are saying is that we are told that the target was not achieved because the department has been trying to make a follow-up to the minister of Namibia, but he is nowhere to be found. I want to check, do you put something as a target before you have a contract or an agreement with that particular country to say that you'll be doing 1, 2, 3, because one assumes that if you have made an agreement, obviously you have agreed on when is it going to commence that partnership. Because now it's only problem, but only to find to say that the minister for a particular country is nowhere to be found. They've been making a follow-up. Did you just put this as a target before we have an agreement in place and understanding exactly what is entailed in the agreement in regard to the commence of those joint programs or partnerships with a certain country?
Can I go back to... Yes, can I go back to asset register? I just want you to check
in all those towns, cities,
whether we have properly identified a public works property, whether that property has been verified, whether it has been vesting has been done, how far are we with the asset register? Because the target was March 2014. And we agree that it's impossible to say March 14 will be the due date. To say how far are you with all those steps of verifying, vesting, and identifying? Are we going to meet the target?
Honorable one. I won't repeat what has been sort of like my mind. My first question is around the risk management charter development, where you are saying there's no progress. but if I remember well, there were some consultants that were there. I mean, there was no chairperson at the moment because the chairperson left sometime in April 2013, but there were consultants, and then we even complained about the number of consultants in the department. Couldn't we have used some of those consultants to play the Shepherdson part? On page 15, there was software tool but not yet installed because there was no server space. Okay, I would like to have clarity on that one. Okay, about the non-submission of from the region. Okay, I'll leave that one. And then, on the vetted officials, my question here to that one is, we have got quite a number of vetted officials and there are some that have been vetted. What is the effect of the non-vetting on the TTW? Also, on page 28, the monitoring and evaluation terms said you don't have any at the head office and the regional offices. So, what would be the reason for this? Lastly, about on page 34, about the clarity on non-achievement of the target on ID work. I think there was a time that we were told that the ID work would be achieved. That is used on the by the department. And then okay, on page 43, the approved accessibility to buildings. We need a clarity on that one. It's like there's quite a number of but on one column this, but we're told that there's only one that is in finished. Yeah, only approved accessibility to buildings, I think for people with disability. I'll stop this. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Omjadis, heading?
Madam Chair, actually...
Your mic on.
Actually, you asked the it be explained partially achieved, not achieved, and so on. We actually need clarity on all the all columns which they say for answers why not achieved. The previous speakers have touched on some of it, but I mean the whole document is not achieved. So it's actually from the beginning onwards. Then a further disturbing thing which I want to mention, I when we were on the roadshow in the Western Cape, there were people traveling with us from the non-state sector and social sector, and there were every time questions asked and so on, but those people never responded to us. In our budget, a vast amount are given to the non-state sector and the social sector in the IDT. But they were traveling on the roadshow, but they didn't comment anything or answer any questions on their achievements, programs they have in the area. Question was why just certain people was employed and so on. For now, we're coming forward to elections. Is it fair that people work with their EPWP clothes on for canvassing, for working registration days and so on? It's not fair that they do that paid from our funds. I mean, each political party has got pay for their own...
Are you bringing in politics in this meeting?
No, not politics. I'm just asking because we find it every day people are working, working, canvassing with their clothes on. And that's my problem. No, not naked, but the branded clothes. The branded clothes.
DJ, the issue of consultants, I'll give you the last one. The issue of consultants. I just want to find out from you whether Ernst & Young is still in your payroll in the department. And if the answer is yes, I would like to be clarified because in one of the presentations, you indicated that Ernst & Young is there to lay the base and the rest of the work will be done by the employees of Department of Public Works. To say how far are they. Secondly, the issue of buying of buildings, I'm happy that the Deputy Minister said we must discuss it here and not pack it. The maintenance of buildings. Right now in Parliament, there was a case of a lift collapsing.
right now in the next building, 2, 3, 4 lifts are not working. And also in the new wing, there was a day where there was a problem with the lift there in front of the chamber. So if we continue buying these buildings, I will not create problems for public works. Because presently, as we are talking, public works can't maintain some of the they have got a workload. Secondly, today in the morning, first thing in the morning, I went out of the backyard in Acacia Park. The wind, they are so big up this. I phoned Kompo because I was looking for Kompo. Kompo to come and see whether public works or it's public works or I don't know really. Because how can our backyard be full of weeds? You can't even be able to hang out washing rags and whatever in the towels. And we are saying we are really buying new people. Right? Meanwhile, we can maintain the villages that are there. I want to be honest. And I'm sure my decided to you know that there are a lot of complaints from the villages about furniture, about the state of their houses. You know, in Acacia Park, there's a black dust that you must take care of it every day. Black dust. But public works can't assist us in the villages. We can't overcome that, but we're adding problems. So why don't we make a better life, if we're talking about better life, for members who can work properly, especially in Acacia Park. Luckily, the issue of NGOs. I made a request yesterday with Mr. Anderson to say, are we monitoring the NGOs that we are funding? Truly speaking, to go and see whether they do exist. Because I gave an example of people who are NGOs who are not 500 meters from my house. And I said, I don't see any impact. Where are they working? What are they doing? Because I said to them yesterday, I said to Mr. Anderson when I met Mr. Anderson yesterday, in the last workshop that we had, where a PWP workshop that we had in Joburg, I saw aging dolls and he laughed. He said, what do you mean by aging dolls? I said, they are old dolls, dirty, tattered. And that's why I'm saying there are 18 dolls, because each and every workshop, they will be the same dolls, dirty as they are, as an NGO. And this era, this time of the century, can we display dolls as an NGO to say we're getting funding from government to come and display dolls? Yeah. And I said, Mr. Anderson, let's go out, go and check on all those NGOs. Because there are NGOs, some of them, that are working against government. And we cannot just government provide money for NGOs that are working against government. And I'm adding and pleading with the department that we need to take stock of all non-state sectors to check whether they are really dealing with the issue of poverty. Thank you very much, Gigi.
My and referred by my doctor.
Thanks. On the issue of the government buildings, I think some time ago, the National Youth Service Formation was meant for that. Those youngsters would be trained on painting. I mean, they would do the renovation. I don't know what happened to that project by DPW. I wanted to add to that of the old buildings, because that would create jobs for the youngsters, quite a number. And then lastly, about the planned around the planned and unplanned prestige. Do we have a policy? Because I think the last time there was a presentation, we identified some progress as to the uniformity of doing that.
Thank you.
on the issue of the maintenance of the buildings and so on, you know, when the minister once presented to us the turnaround strategy, he also indicated the revival of the workshops, so that those smaller things can be done, you know, to the people that are working at the workshop. And we think and we believe as a portfolio committee, if these workshops can be revived, it will be part of job creation. We once had an oversight in Auckland Island where there was a workshop. The workshop was there, but there was no material. They privatized some of the work that are supposed to be done by the staff that is employed, you know. They paid a lot of money to outsource the work of the people that are there. They can't work because of the material and so on. Maybe if the department can also share with us how far, because it will assist us for job creation, it will assist us when we have got a problem with a globe, we have the people that will rush and do that without big amounts that are going to be paid by the department. Maybe if we can be updated on that then.
Thank you, Shatas. On the same issue of maintenance, I think public workers got to do a lot of work there, because as we say that there are buildings which are not known whether they belong to provinces or local government or the national, they are being left untouched whenever there is a job being done, painting or otherwise. So now we expect public works to do a lot of work to get hold of all the buildings in the country, differentiate them according to according to regions or local government or provincial, so that each and every building is being contained by the public works.
Thank you.
I'll
show Mama Magala.
Jefferson, my questions are now on finance. I would like to ask Mr. Mokoro to clarify further for me, because I see here on the compensation of employees, goods and services, that they are requesting 2 million adjustment. And again here, but they spent 48% and 37% respectively. Now, if you can clarify, why are they requesting 2 million requests to be adjusted? My other question on finance is on IGT agreement, parliamentary villages. 100% is spent already by end of September. Now my question is, are they not expecting to spend any money on these three items? The other question is on boundary fencing, earmarked budget and expenditure. The next page, page 46, boundary fencing. I see here they spent 0% end of September 2013. Yes, the budget of 7 million. What is going to happen now? Because I believe that band fencing is very, very important. So there are also deficits which we try to explain, but I am not clear exactly what was saying, because I see that there are deficits again. Deficit of 1.2 billion on PMGE. Yes. Also on the charges, accommodation charges, about health visitors, they are still owing the department 18 million. They only pay 50%. And here they were not evolved funds. These are my questions. Thank you
very much. DG, over to you.
Thank you. I will start with the issues that I've had to make to the body. And then I will introduce which of my colleagues will enter and help in the area of internal audit, especially in the civil company. This is the report as I said here for and maybe let me upfront make an apology in certain areas where after our process of evaluation at EFCO, there may not have been adjustments subsequent to that to reflect the areas of period and ask for verification etc. And I will indicate some of those, and Chair, I really want to make an apology upfront to the committee. It's no indication, no sign of disrespect to the committee. I will indicate those areas. And in that regard, we last week we were going through that very same exercise to deal with the quarter end of 81 December, which is now being finalized for us to sign off by the on Thursday tomorrow. Which would actually mean that that quarter would then be ready for discussion. We've gone through this probably, then I've learned from this exercise as I saw it now, that we need to check those things that they have now been affected. There would have been things that would have happened subsequent to this as a part of our review of this quarterly report, and I'm going to touch on them in the context of that apology. Now, the matters in the internal audit report, and they have correctly highlighted the area, they have highlighted the areas that are causing them to be unable to achieve their goals for that quarter. There were areas where the internal audit was inadequately facilitated. Work was done with the FCDG, corporate tax, as part of that prioritization of key areas that we need to allocate resources for in order to increase and effectiveness. And that was done. I was also persuaded, in addition, by the audit committee to say, because I also required expert people to understand, to assess the appropriate area that we can, because we're not going to give them everything they need, they want, just like every other area in our work. But we must be sure that they are fully, they are capable of design, able to deliver their objective. Sorry, their function in order to achieve their objectives. It's correct, they were complaining about this of capacity. I think quite a lot of advertisements went out to fill areas that were agreed on with the head of the internal audit to fill. I think quite a number of deputy directors, directorate, but the acting DG corporate services will be able to give specifics if he's brought them with him about which areas we have now helped them on. I think the issue of the low morale emanates from the overheadedness of some of the people working in the internal audit in respect to their audit work. There are quite a few things that we've had to change, to be quite honest, with the audit committee about the way in which that unit works. The first one was changing the plan and the approach. When we looked at the audit plan for the year, we discovered that some of the things that they're doing may not help us going forward because they relate to audits of periods that have passed. That had to be reviewed in order to ensure that we're able to do that. And then also some of the processes that they engaged in as part of the auditing, led by the chair of that audit committee. I'm fairly happy that we will be able to get a proper, well thought audit plan for the current, for the year, as we'll have to approve it before the end of March. So that's where this thing. So in the issue of the capacity, yes, it's been addressed. We've had to increase, fill some of the areas, the posts that they were that had remained unfilled for a long period of time. Either there are some of them have gone through the interview process and appointed, others are in that process. I think DJ and Shiva will be able to help me grab the committee in regard to the details that relate to that. And then the other one, I think the low integrity perception is a perception, it's opinion. How do you see how people are responding to us when we are doing audit? And how much reliance can we place on representations made by people? I think it's part of the auditing process. But they seem to indicate that I think we have had an integrity problem in public works generally as a result of the corruption. That's really part of the culture we deal with. I think they're reflecting that. It is part of the thing that then they have to do over time, and we'll see if that remains in terms of the processes that they're engaged in. But I can't do much except that to encourage them to do their professional work and deliver professionally with regard to those areas. Sure. Then the issue of no chairperson on page 14. No chairperson. This is one of the areas I am making the apology in respect of. Sure, the residents here accept that it was subsequently object around the cleaning up of the sequence at the time that relates to this matter. It is not correct that there wasn't a chairperson. There are meetings. The meeting evidence of meeting of the September set by DDG Regional Coordination. It's only that I can't get the one around July, June, because they have them on a quarter basis. I do know that, for example, the external member of the audit committee who comes from the audit committee, they have had two work sessions, at least those that I know, during this period, which give us our first properly assessed risk. Miss Fajela even left a copy in one of the meetings, distributed and copied at the head of the meeting, to say we have a risk register. The woman who comes there, it has come under this provision.
Before
Matute, it used to be the person who was COO, acting COO, Mr. Gwazube. He was redeployed by the minister after he had arrived around January, February. It was started in March, probably, or April. I think it was about 2 months period of the handover, because people had to hand over. Manda had to hand over to Pezego on project, and Pezego had to hand over to a whole lot of people because he was supervising, apparently. A whole lot of people just reaching, including some of the branches. During that period, I had to formalize the appointment of DDG for Regional Coordinator as the replacement of Mpezeko when he appealed that he no longer is appropriate to be the chair of the committee because most of the measures are affecting his area, his current deployment, which is the project. And there is another meeting, Chair, just to show you, to tell you, the last meeting was held on the 13th of November. In September, in October, when we were doing this, these were things that we ought to have resolved. I'm acknowledging it's inaccurate. I ought to have, before I gave you this, because we went through this, it ought to have been changed to reflect. People write what they have. And no, I don't know, sometimes recklessly, sometimes negligently, I do not know. But as an ex-co, we go through those things and have to correct them and then get the operatives to amend the document. I think that's where this problem is. I thought the only thing that evidence, because otherwise you won't believe even myself.
Because when I had to do my work here on sort of research,
yes,
that's when I knew that before Matute,
there was
somebody, and between Matute taking over, there was that gap.
That gap I can acknowledge, it was fixed from about May by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was for 2 months, probably. I That was it, because remember, I have an agenda that I often approve with the chair of the committee about the chair. This committee is a committee of the audit committee.
Is it an
acting for CPG
or something
that people can... Mr. Matuta, he's the chair of this committee. And we also have, if you look at the people that is a member of the risk committee, audit committee, he was an external. That's the other thing that I actually insisted on, which was not part of the practice in the department, to have an external member outside of the
department. Risk management committee meeting schedule. The chairperson explained that since this meeting is the first meeting of the RMC in this current financial year, that was in September, the first meeting.
Yeah.
Did it not? Did it not?
Yeah. You say, Chair, I'm saying this is a statement here said there was no meeting. It doesn't even refer to that meeting. I fixed the problem between the two of them in April. They have had workshops. I'm certain about that. There have been workshops that were run. If the formal meeting was the first one, that's fine, Chair. But my understanding is that I knew that there was a lot of activity that was taking place in order to ensure that our risk management processes are correct.
So
did
it say monitoring is not properly done in the group? If anybody can just write anything that suits him,
yeah,
in the
no,
head, it creates a very serious problem.
Correct.
And it's misleading the country.
Correct. That's why I have apologized.
And that must be taken care of. Because I just write whatever we think without consulting. It creates a very serious problem. Will
yes.
anybody take this document with more hand?
They will have this.
Yes. Well, for an international person here representing PNG. From outside here, yes. He's taking the document. I'm not accusing him. I'm just giving an example. That he's taking this document with him with false information that is not properly checked. That must be very careful of. Thank you, Gigi.
Yes, I think that is part. That are the things we have to deal with. Chair. Unfortunately, some go through the cracks.
Okay.
It was very important. Yeah. Yeah. I think the area, Chair, I did indicate, Chair, at the beginning. I think we're dealing with we submitted this plan at the beginning of the year, probably. We had not had the vigorous processes of making sure that we clean it up at the planning stage. And I think that is acknowledged. The planning of the department, the coordination itself had its own challenges, Chair. I think that has an effect on the target setting processes. That does have, you know, you'll see some of the targets you will never find going forward. Because we are now rigorously going through the template for certain targets to effectively ask the president. They can't be others. We are able to then say, this is not a proper target. We must redo it in order to ensure that we can account appropriately for our activities. But unfortunately, it's not in. We did, at the beginning of the year, quite a lot of them, change them. So if you compare this to the previous year, you'll see. But I think there are areas that remain unresolved. I mean, I can also take from the discussion that one of the other areas that wasn't clear until you had to understand the process was reporting on projects. The way we were reporting on projects for APB was not very useful. It left out the roles and the outputs that are expected from the role players in the delivery of the project. In the department, you would then see it when you're looking at performance on projects. Sit in a meeting, and I'm looking for why is the outcome not achieved. Then the first person would say, I was dependent on this man. And when you then say, why did you deliver this to this man? You would then say, no, my process would start at the end of that process. And that kind of thing. It required a proper mapping up of this process. With the manager in the last 3 months,
We've been sitting almost twice a month with everybody to try and deal with this. It will enforce how we report on the project and who ultimately, for me, takes responsibility for what in their process. I've even set up a project monitoring and reporting structure which will include representation from the region to account for each of the areas. On the basis, we've done what is called, we ask projects to completely re-engineer and develop what we call now in infrastructure management system. Infrastructure delivery management system. That begins to, let me just indicate, perhaps this is one area you might. Well, some of the target budgets in set here, particularly in the project, would have required somebody to know how ready is a project to be counted as one that would deliver the outcomes that we are talking about. Where I come from in human settlements, we have developed what we call project readiness framework, which is a framework that tells you what gets involved, what gets included into the process. Because if for somebody to say, I am planning to deliver 15,000 units, and they have not done their applications to municipality and all of the planning and all that, would effectively be planning phase. And that's what we are imposing, putting into this. The delivery system is now beginning to, has now been developed such that it says, I am able to know when we are putting the target here, what is the basis of measurement of progress with regard to those, to each of the projects. If you go to this accessibility program, and let me acknowledge, you did warn me, Chair, on this one. The projects were there. What I had not done was ready. When we did the data cleanup during the audit, some of them we discovered were from previous years. All of that was outstanding was the completion certificate, value of the completion certificate, the final page. So we had to remove them from the database of delivery because you can't try to account for things of the previous year. So what we did in the first quarter, removed those. So that then the 100 had to be 100 that relate to projects that move forward. And further work that required to be done. With regard to that. These projects are now at various stages of implementation. Except for the fact that for about 3 months, between the region and the National Supply Chain Management Unit, there were issues of dispute about appointments of consultants, which methodologies to use, we became aware as we're doing that at the AMC to look at the progress that was there. We picked it up at that stage, and unfortunately, we then we provided direction of what needs to be done, but that was done later. Those projects cannot be delivered in the current year. And then, 11 of them were to put back to align with the maintenance programs projects that were being done in the same building, in the same areas where the things were, and therefore had to be withdrawn effectively as only accessibility program, but they will be accounted for when the projects are delivered. I'm not saying these are things that you discover and begin to deal with easier. So we have the IDMS. Which we are utilizing now. It will help us with the current year, but this will help us with tying up the accountability arrangement going forward. Now, one of the areas, now I'll go to the question asked, page 16, which relates to the issue of the completed business plan relating to the various areas. Unfortunately, in there, you realize that there is a disjunction with regard to the planning process here. If you look at the business plans aligned to give for digit for approval in 2014, that is a target for planning for the following year, for the 2014, because plan must be approved before the start of the year. And in the process, I think, in the conceptualization by our planners, they've confused 2013 and 2014, and they undercounted what is it, therefore, for the things that were expected to be done. We are finalizing the process for planning for 2014 now, and on, was it on Tuesday or Thursday? When we do Tuesday, ExCom meetings, where we're looking at the APP, the strategic plan for the next 5 years, the APP for 2014-15, and then we're also looking at the end, the performance of the LS31 December, as I say, going through the evaluation process. Now, that is almost ready. Now we expect people to develop and conclude and complete their business plans that relate to that, so that they are all approved, not on the 31st of March, because I've had to ask them to reprogram the whole thing. They've got linked to the preliminary approval process. The law says, after the Minister of Finance raised this budget, within 14 days, within 14 days, we must table this thing with yourself. So, for next year, we're going to put this appropriate, so that you don't put deadline of the 31st of March, when in fact, it should have been the 21st of March. We now know the Minister is reading his budget speech 7 days after the president, on the 28th. On the 20-something of February. And 14 days after that, we should be tabling it. Within 14 days, we should be tabling it to you. It can be. So we've had to re-look at those things. Now, all the business areas, as you can see, Chair, there were areas where there were outstanding things. I followed them up when they are outstanding from branch manager. I have put branch managers on time with regard to when they don't meet their reporting requirements. In various areas. But the two areas that are being voted there that relate to regional coordination, if you look at the regions themselves, he has to start dealing with the regions, make sure that all of their business plans are proper, dealt with. You can see they've all been approved, but his coordination, his overall plan has not yet been approved because of problems that relate to this thing about key indicators and all those things. So I think that one was in, we are going to structure it properly so that we can be able to account for the delivery in that time. And we are on target to achieve it. Then page 35. I think I'm going to ask my chief director dealing with security overall to handle all the questions that relate to security. If there's anything left, I'm going to address it myself after he has done so. Can I ask him to then to that? Because I think there's a question on page 35, and then all of this, I think they are condemned by the chair, and I think by Honorable Majoka, and but actually it seems to be a team across the department, part of the party. But before that, perhaps as a context setting, I would ask our chief director of monitoring and evaluation to explain the concepts and the concepts used and the basis of that, of how you evaluate achievement, non-achievement, partial achievement, and all those things. I think those are things that have been developed in conjunction with the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, and they probably have pretty standard concepts. Can you, Luazi, perhaps deal with that and then give to the head of security.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members, Deputy Minister. The methodology we use to assess. Thank you, Chair. The method we use to assess, to measure the performance of the department, we have categorized the way we measure the performance into five areas. Now, that is target not achieved. The target not achieved one, and the target not achieved two. I will explain the two, the difference. And then there is target partially achieved, and then there is target achieved, and then new information. Now, target not achieved one. This is a situation where against the quota target or any quota target, no information or no progress or nothing was done in that quota. So then it will be regarded as target not achieved against that. The target not achieved one, and we have a way of quantifying that statistically. In this case, target not achieved one is 0 to 10%. We have a way of quantifying that. And then for target not achieved two, now what we do here, we look at whether the target is output-based or is it a process-based. Now, if it's an output-based, we see that when you report against that target and you find that no output has been achieved, but the process has suffered, then we regard that as target not achieved too. It falls in that category. The process has started, but not output has not yet. That also helps us to look at areas of intervention and where the blockages are within the value chain. And it also assists us in shaping the kind of portfolio of evidence that is required to against the information disclosed. And then for target partially achieved, which we also are able to quantify, is anything between 50 and 89%. Now, partially achieved, this is where, again, we look at the type of target. If it's output target, we look at, this is a situation where some output has been achieved, not fully against the target, because the remainder of those is are still in the process. Then we can quantify that. If it falls between 40, if it falls between 50 and 89, then it's regarded as target partially achieved. Then kind of portfolio of evidence that will be provided there will then explain why the remainder has not been achieved. And then the target achieved, then it's color-coded green, which is anything above 90%. And that is when most of the outputs have been achieved. And then the blue one, which is target information not provided, this is, we also assess it because we now have positive findings on information not provided. So we try to limit that or to remove that kind of information. So that's how we categorize that information. It also has a measurement tool and to also assess when to intervene and in what areas to intervene.
DJ, this one is directed to Mr. Lwazi. You see, today I asked him about this. When going through the documents, I told him, so what do you mean by this? You should have, from the start, explained to me the first explanation, if he had included that the first explanation yesterday, I would have asked the question. He only spoke about the blue, but the percentage of 88, 9%, what he never tried the those things, because you know, when you read the documents, you want to understand. But the way he explained, I could not, that's why I brought it here, for the DD, I was not expecting him to respond, but I was not satisfied with his explanation yesterday. So thank you very much. Next time, I'll do it like this.
you intimidate.
Thank you very much.
It's not often
that you have to conduct a provision in the context of yesterday, in future. I think it's a presentation thing that we must learn to deal with. Probably as part of my presentation. With just clarifying that and reminding them about that. Because even for us, we you know how much I took him to task with regard to the methodology. Because in some areas we found it to be very problematic. It's been reviewed from what was the situation before, by the way, which was you either say, I have finished or I have not finished. When you finish, you achieve. When you, even if you are 99% complete, you'll be regarded as not having done anything. And I think it's moving from that environment, that situation. Thank you. Mr. Mshisa is going to answer on behalf of the
Scottie. Sorry, sir. Yeah. It is just a small show-up on the virtue. It is a requirement. Like my colleague indicated that there are leakages and all that. And that. What is the percentage of these officials that have been vetted, and what is the impact on EW out of those officials that have not been vetted, and then what is the position of those officials that have not been vetted in the EW? Just the senior officials or DDGs or, yeah.
I will augment should I discover that there may be not good.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the target categories is the DG office support staff, it is DGs, and DG support staff, but it also includes regional managers and project managers because of the links to budget. So the target you see there is focused on those ones in the department. However, what is not covered in the report, because it's not a part of the report, but it's part of the operation that happened. During the very same time, there was an express request to target supply chain officials. So we targeted, the number was 206, and we did all of them during this period, because of the vetting. In the department, there is a collaboration, a sense of collaboration. In fact, even stronger, if I were to compare the state departments between the public works and NIA, to the extent, agency, yeah, SSP, that's what it's sensitive. To the extent that SSA has allowed the department to actually do the vetting. But what then the SSA does, it will then do the security clearance that we still don't do. So what then our group will do is to prepare personnel that is targeted for security clearance, after vetting. Then the SSA will then come in to do the vetting and receive all information. So that will be the distinction between the two. But the actual vetting, there has been a collaboration between the two departments that we do the vetting ourselves in the department. Thanks.
Having been involved in that process, Jay, I need to try and synthesize that one. In the process of vetting and then giving you a certificate for top secret or secret, etc., in most departments, they get formed, get filled, and then they send all that stuff to me. What is happening in our air case, and we've got a very, it's interesting, we've got a very strong security unit in this department that I just lost one of those people. I think some of them come from SSA. They are SSA operatives before, and then they are in the department. They do most of the preparatory work that SSA would do, administration. If you, the requirement is that you must produce, you must print all of them statements from all your accounts for up to over 2 months. At any one time when they do that. They do that. So when an application form is done, they then go through the steps, see this has been done, because they used to do it at that side. This has been done, and then they provide SSA the complete dossier on all the requirements. And then SSA then does their quality control aspects. That means sometimes they may go back to the bank, reprint, check if everything is right on a sample basis. And then they continue with their stuff that they are themselves empowered to issue, because we can never be empowered to issue the actual security certificate. So that is the kind of partnership we have, which is what he's explaining. I mean, in my case, I went through our department, they produced everything, but there was an officer from me, from SSA, that came to do the last leg, which includes that thing where you get asked questions and you can test. They came and did all of that, and they did follow-up work. They invited my family and all sorts of things that they do come up, which are very uncomfortable for us to be done. But that's the operation of the vetting process in our department. That's an employee, Chair. Then he must answer then the issue about the actual quantitative delivery that relates to us, essentially. How far has what delays and which areas are outstanding? If you have it, or if you don't have it, indicate so that we'll provide to the committee.
Okay.
Can I ask a question? We want to clarify about this issue.
Yes.
Remember last year, I think the instance, though I will be protesting, remember last year I did show you a slide, was it last year, a letter, that was, email that was circulating in the public of public works. Remember, there was a letter circulating in the public of public works. So and so is doing this with this, but so and so is doing joining with this one, so and so is joining with this one. Yeah, you remember the letter? I'm asking this question of security breaking and order. It says, if really the security in the Department of Public Works is so tight, why did that email circulate without you detecting it? We must engage with that so that we must have proper understanding and proper way of doing things. Because I think the next time, DG, if they are asked to be responded to, they must not be responded by the person who's got hands on the particular project. Because last year, you remember, the response that we were given was that NIA won't vet public works employees because NIA is loaded and can't vet. And we are asking this question because I see 200 and now we say 206. It's because we want to understand, because last year he said, we are not going to do this. He said, of the person who was before him, to say to us, no, we are now doing our own vetting. So that we can have the same understanding. But if we are given those responses, we'll keep on making follow-ups to them on false information that we are given. The question, why that circulation of that destructive letter? People are in the reply, even then, when that letter was circulated, people are not doing their work. They are talking about the union and all this. To say, why that letter circulated? If things are okay.
Chairperson, I've been warned at some point when I was venturing into these security issues and the risk associated with it, that some things I can't express myself or even refusing to write to you. Because they need to be dealt with, as correctly pointed out, by those operators that deal with it. A certain sense that even though I might have a top secret clearance, but the fact of the matter is that some of the operations that they may be engaged with, I may not be privy to. I mean, for obvious reasons. But secondly, part of the reason why we had to begin to strengthen and enter into that collaboration between ourselves and SSA was exactly the point that you've mentioned in terms of the rules that they have at one level, but also to begin to delegate some of the work around vetting, only vetting, to the department to run with. Because of the fact that there were these kind of challenges that you mentioned that were running rampant within the department. Now, there's certain interventions that were done even beside the personnel vetting of individuals. But the kind of vetting that was also done and the control measures put into place in respect of even the organization within which people operate, I do not go any further in terms of that. Because of those kind of dynamics challenges last year and the year before last, that we're confronting the department. So the third category is that the challenges even for individuals that were sent to work on the verification of our asset register, which when the data came, from an IT point of view, we realized that some of those people may not have necessary vetting done on them and security conducted on them. And hence, you see by part of the reports that one of the targeted areas we're doing from an IT point of view to begin to ensure that individuals have certain security clearance level before they could access any of our assets, any of our assets, land or property, and what have you. You will understand the dynamics around those aspects. So that is where that is currently being done to begin to strengthen those aspects. So going forward, this intervention can only be stronger. Chairperson, yes, it has been weak over the years. It is still weak, but at least it's moving the right direction because we know now which areas in terms of security and vetting we need to address.
Thank you. There's no follow-up.
No question.
Thank you, sir. On the issue of project, my sense is that we've not worked out what and when will it end, because quite a lot of things have not happened. Things have been changing. Unfortunately, it's been there for quite a long time, because it has experienced its own challenges. We have received progress report, I think, with the mentor and ESCO, of where we are. Part of the thing is the concept itself, the project itself in its overall concept, does not change all its requirements. What has often happened is, at the city, in accordance with their own visions about how the city is to be structured, certain things change which we have to engage with them in order to ensure that the government still wants to maintain the same approach with regard to precinct development, etc. But the city has, from time to time, its own plans. I think we've had several engagements last year that emanated into the progress report that we received. 2 weeks ago, I had a meeting with the DDG driving that program, at which stage I had requested that we reach a stage where we can have a sense of what is the demand for space in Swami from what departments are putting their UMs through that have it, as well as their requirements from us and Treasury, and what is the supply possibilities within the state. That has been developed into a fully fledged document. A presentation on that could be provided to the committee at an appropriate time. And then I then instructed that we call for a discussion with our affected departments, the Treasury, and the city, to effectively work out how to finance each one of those and how to develop, etc., and get us a concrete up to date, because there was a ban, but quite a lot of things have been overtaken by events. Certain things and departments pulled out and did their developments, but some of them are within and others are outside of that over time. We need to finalize that. We'll then, after we've done that process, we want to then go back to cabinet if there is a need, an indicator needs to be done, so that we can be able to have a very clear, concrete commitment on what we will do. It's not going to be 1 year, it's not going to be 3 years, not even 5 years. It has to be a longer term development. From what I saw in terms of the demand and supply matching process that I saw, but they are still to develop further based on my inputs into that particular discussion. That is, I think, the end also.
Just because I think the question was, is it just confined to Swami? And the answer to this certainly is the report that we got from the DDG responsible for this area, that there's also been close work with Polokwane and Bombella, that's what we've been told. Still in a planning phase, and as the DG has indicated, of course a lot of it can't just be unilaterally driven from the side of the national department. Basically the key responsibility for citywide planning guests with the cities and stuff inappropriately. So it's a question of working with them and particularly looking at our nationally owned properties and see how we can fit in effectively and plan together with the respective cities. We've also had a request from the city of Cape Town also to collaborate, which obviously we welcome as well. So just to say that our vision is not confined, because that was the question, our vision is not confined to the city, although that's a big priority, given the huge amount of national DPW property and the importance of turning around that capital city and to make it much more friendly. But our vision is not just confined, and the interactions are not just confined to Chuan. Thank you.
DG, can with your apology, can I further be clarified? Because if my memory serves me well, there was a memorandum that was presented to cabinet, I think it was in 2006, I don't remember very well. That memorandum stipulated that it's on Hajisa Chuan. So for history's sake, can't the Department of Public Works revisit the memorandum
because the memorandum only spoke about Tswane. For us to have proper history, is it not possible to revisit the memorandum and make some changes, or I don't know how do you, how can we amend or whatever, because it only said, I've got two lawyers in public works employees here. Peter, you'll have to come in. Because now, for us to correct the history, I'm just worried because the memorandum only stated Tswane.
You're right about that, and that's why I didn't refer. We're talking about ethnicity regeneration. For us, that is the overall thing. There's a particular and direct focus on Tswane, which dates back, I think, to about 2016, and that particular memorandum. Based on that experience and the progress, in terms of it's slower than we would like, but for the reasons that the DG has explained, we are certainly looking to using our property portfolio and our planning capacity to work with other major towns and cities to have a similar approach. But a brand name for the Tswane project, you know, doesn't apply obviously to others. So it's not a question of revisiting or changing history, but building on that experience and trying to take it forward. So that's the approach, and therefore it's not specifically a brand name, obviously a Tswane brand name, but the approach to ethnicity regeneration is one that we think is very important, and that we have an important responsibility as this national government to take.
Honourable Chairperson, no, thank you. I think the Deputy Minister had articulated it excellently.
Risk management development charter. I think the use of on risk management. Because there was the question of number of consultants in the department has been a matter of concern. Yes. Certainly, consultants as doing business advisor services that we have largely relate to what was the requirement for immediate speedy intervention relating to turnaround. Yes. Yes. So I think as the commitment that made, and we will continue to make it, that we have those because we need that to stabilize the condition. I think in the medium to long term, we want to reduce them as we start to replace with in the areas with physical people who will be doing the job. At the moment, it's very hard. We all concerned, but it's because of a specific intervention that is required in order to make sure that there is a basis that we are laying for a proper functioning of the department. I think CFO, if necessary, will then follow up with specific issues. I think I picked up a few other comments that relate to that, NSDN Young, etc., etc. He will just deal with that because of that. That's the person on the and Peter. On the other side. software tool. Oh, there is a reference to a software tool, but there was no space. I think that was in that particular quarter where they required server space and the capacity to deposit the information online. Because I approached the procurement of the tool in order to do risk management more scientifically than it was done before. I think the documents that was provided were based on a much more scientific approach to risk management that was done. But it still needed to have the ability to manage going forward. Now, part of the IT integrated strategy identified a number of these server requirements. Even in region, for the functioning of the region, we have had to procure those, put them in place. I think they did a full evaluation of the systems that we have and the efficiency for our business over time in the department, in which includes your IDWorks and many others. Yeah. If we were to have a program, perhaps we would have one session to deliver. It was quite important.
what we are trying to do, rationalize and in the area of our business systems that were brought, including those that came out in some of the investigation by the investigative unit, which related to SAS, from them, LAS, remember the investigation, SAS, acquisition, etc. IEWAC, the one for the project, the one for tracking, many of which, some of which were poor board, were commissioned but never fully implemented. We've done a full scoping of all of them. We now will be able to say, with this one we need, that one we need, that one we should not continue utilizing. Including modernizing the project management system that we are working on, which is now becoming effectively out of commission at the point of the producer. What is that? WCS called Work Control System, which needs to be replaced completely because there is no post to maintain it. The manufacturer is continuing to do it, and therefore we cannot continue to have to myself a proper system that will produce. We've done, we have hired an expert, somebody who went, was on contract with us for a year and helping with a standard to Netflix. We have done in a short space of time quite a lot of analysis, quite a lot of development of the strategy on how we should approach our IT systems in order to automate. This will hope at some stage we will be able to show to the committee and be able to eliminate the usage of paper in the process. Yes.
Follow-up question is not on that one. Just to check whether they are connected to the region. Are the region connected to the head office?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Even on
WS,
yeah. They feed it there, will pick up the information. I think there were issues. The chair might have, well, the member who raised the issue on IEWAC might have been remembering the audit outcomes because there were issues of internal control that were there.
He has fixed this.
They have now fixed and reprogrammed in order to address those weaknesses. Vetting. So I think the general question on monitoring, because it comes there and it comes elsewhere, I did indicate that we are, it's one of the areas where we have worked on. Firstly, we have developed a framework, a policy, monitoring, but there are still things that can go through the hands, as you will have seen. We will continue to improve on those areas. Luaz is the chief director responsible for monitoring the coalition. If anything goes wrong on what you will deal with me so that I deal with him. But he is available to assist you, Chair. Supply chain management, can you deal with it?
There were various issues raised with respect to supply chain and in terms of the report back in terms of achievement or not achievement. I think there was one that dealt with the crediting on contractors that because of supply chain practices that could be done for the contractor incubator program. The second was the issue around the accessibility project, that it was not, it could not achieve the numbers that it was intended to achieve, precisely because of the delay in the appointment of consultants. And the last, I think, was the issue around, what's the story, or where are we with the reforms for SCM to ensure that we can deliver our business? Just getting back to all three. I mean, all three overarches all three issues is the entire supply chain regime that's currently in existence. That has been a regime that has been driven by national treasury. That one, it is not conducive for the nature of our business. Two, it is insufficient in terms of us not able to achieve the kind of things that you need to achieve, like your targeting of your projects for specific objectives. In terms of that, the current dispensation in terms of SCM is that you cannot set aside particular projects for specific purposes as in your incubator to for empowerment. SCM, as it is, in terms of the ladies, is that you go out and test the market and make the appointments for your overall BE strategy. However, that way of going about it will not achieve the kind of intentions that you want to achieve. So that's the one contributor. The fact that the regime that it currently stands is not able to do the carbon that you are doing. In terms of way forward, how we want to change that, we are proposing significant reforms to our SCM regime that can talk to the nature of our business in the department. As you know, that the National Treasury has drafted an entire reform of procurement in the public service. And we have been selected as one of the pilot sites for those reforms that the National Treasury wants to test, being ourselves to one site and the other being the Department of Health, purely because of the volumes of procurement that we are doing. In that regard, in essence, we are working closely with the officials responsible for these reforms. They actually have gone to the extent of setting up a presence and an operation within public works, wherein we are going to interact daily on the kind of reforms that we want to have. And these reforms are specifically around the procurement processes with respect to what's peculiar to the department, as in your property business leasing and how you acquire this. Secondly, around construction projects that cannot be done in a formal, in a normal way of just buying pens and pencils. There is a different way of approaching procurement in that regard. So we believe that with all these reforms, we will be able to address the kind of things that we need to address in terms of our contracting incubator programs, be able to set aside the, you know, targeted projects for specific objectives in terms of empowerment and all that. With respect to the consultant's appointment, again, as a consequence of the nature of the regime that we have, we had a process of appointing consultants via the roster system, wherein we could appoint consultants on the basis of grading on the system, and we could just appoint them irrespective of the volumes or irrespective of the quantum of the engagement. As a result, we had consultants appointed for Berg that was far in excess of 500,000 rands, and in terms of the current SCM regime, you cannot appoint consultants or anybody through a quotation process if it's in excess of 500,000 rands. As a result, our roster system was not compliant with the current SCM regime. So National Treasury then introduced a different system that we could go about appointing consultants, which was the Professional Services Service Provider Register, and that is currently what we are using. So the migration from the old roster system to this created this delay in terms of the appointment of our consultants who needed to do work for us to be able to then do the accessibility projects very quickly. And that has impacted on the delivery of the accessibility program. I just need to explain that. I think that's the general discussion I wanted to have around SCM. We're having in the next 2 weeks an internal workshop on dealing with all the forms that we believe would work for us as a department. The DG has convened to that. We will be having that session in the next 2 weeks, and I believe subsequently that we'll be able to report differently.
Just to close in the interim, in order to remove some of the problems, we've established different governance structures for the various types of procurements. We've got the General National Bid Adjudication Committee. We've got one that deals with specifically with property management people that were required dealing with the issue of considering lease process issues as separate from. We are anticipating that we want to make a case for that reform to recognize that you can't change all these areas the same. I think some honorable indicated that some of the things can be done within the organization. Administrations. These committees not fitting, which was one of the real contributors who delays and everything, not cooperating, etc.
we have had to take a firm view with regard to those policies. And we've programmed that they sent on certain days, and everyone in the organization knows if they need to be submitting their documents, they will submit following. At least there isn't an uncertainty about when the bid committee will sit, and they're sitting regularly, trying to frustrate them so that things that are ready are processed. And things that are not ready, the bid certification committee will return them the part of the quality assessment that we have to do. In order to ensure that we don't get into irregular arrangements unnecessarily. Thank you, sir. Now, there's a big issue of disposal of the foreign portfolio.
In fact, it's just a reminder. He said that Peter is going to talk to the finance. We are still waiting for them.
Oh, no, the CFO will be there. Yes, sir. After he finished the response. Sorry. I think it's almost the last one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost the last one of the major issues. Yes.
I'm a little concerned that we're not going to be in jump. There's a lot of questions and good questions. I definitely have to leave at one because I've budgeted for that, but I think we'll have to. So I don't know how we manage.
Quarter to 1 month,
certainly. It is quarter to 1 month. It's 2 minutes ago. So I don't know how we're going to manage all this. I mean, just to raise the process point.
I think the main question, honourable members, let's ask the department to report, to respond on paper. To the portfolio committee, the rest of the answers will be dealt with on paper. But if there are issues that the deputy minister would like to address before, we'll allow the deputy minister to respond to. The issue of disposing projects that are outside the country, can they be clubbed with when the data will come on the asset register? Can that be clubbed together into a strategy? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry, I didn't make the first point in order to then get the floor. But nonetheless, when a politician gets the offer of a floor, hopefully you grab it. But I did want to make a number of broad contextualization points rather than deal with some of the detailed questions. I found this session extremely interesting. I chaired the portfolio committee for 10 years, basically, in the previous two parliaments. And I must say that we never had this kind of detail with which to engage with the department that I was dealing with. So I think that the whole monitoring and evaluation, the internal auditing process and so on, I think is really empowering. I'm also an MP, I'm here as a minister, but I'm also an MP. And I think it's really beginning to empower us. And I think that this morning's process, I think, confirms that to us. With all of the weaknesses of our monitoring and evaluation, I think that the fact that we've begun to introduce a serious monitoring and evaluation, I think is really assisting all of us, but it's also assisting us, now we're my serious deputy ministerial cap, it's assisting us to get a better handle of what's going on, assisting the DG and so on. So I just wanted to make that observation. The second point is that of course we've all, and particularly all the questions have gone through the not achieved column, okay. The honourable member from the DA said it's all just not achieved. Actually, then there's account. There's account, okay. So there's 65 achieved, 5 partially achieved, which means 50% up to 90%, and 35 not achieved, but we can at least take one of it away because there was a mistake on the risk management process. So that's more than two-thirds achieved. That's not great. The objective is to achieve everything, okay? And to ask those questions about why you're not achieving, and probably no one's ever going to achieve everything, but it acts as a warning sign, and it helps us to ask questions for ourselves, and so forth. So I just want to, so that we don't just get into a depression, neither a triumphalism that we've achieved two-thirds and everything's okay. Clearly, not everything is okay. But I think it's important also to understand that, even with the limitations, over two-thirds of the targets, and maybe the targets weren't always the right ones, have been achieved. So certainly also, I think sometimes we need to look at the achieved and ask questions about them. You know, like, I mean, to use a small example, we're spending $200 million a year and achieving on Commonwealth war grants. $200 million is not the largest amount of money, but is that actually a strategic priority for a country that was huge? And I think this has to do with the Delville Woods thing in France, Belgium, where into France, where my grandfather, by the way, the First World War thing. Okay, it's really... Okay, so that's achieved. So nice green, you know, green tick or whatever. That's the thing. Then there are others. So another thing that's achieved, in fact, well overachieved, is to take another example, which we can talk about more fully when we talk about the expanded public with, is that the NGO allocation spend was more than double, $330 million versus $140 million by the second quarter. Okay. Now, that's telling us something interesting, that the potential for uptake by the non-profit sector in terms of developing work opportunity is really there. It's something that doesn't nationally affect. But we really need to massively expand the role, notwithstanding your concerns about, and we need to monitor the NGOs or non-profit sector. But because the overachievement is, so sometimes some of the interesting things are not in the not achieved column, I'm not saying we've run away from it, but in the achieved column. Either do we really want to achieve another 200 million and it'll be more because the rand is slipping vis-a-vis the French franc. Do we want to go on spending on Commonwealth war graves, including my grandfather, as a country? Then the other thing also, then, let's point that you correctly made. Where does abuse of expanded public works uniforms and people are doing political, narrow party political work? That is a problem. This is public money and not party political money. Well, here's allegations on all sides of political party, with the two mentioned ones. Here's an investigation, I don't know if it's right, legitimate or not, that people get handpicked according to which party cards they have and so forth, participation in the program and so on. And I think it's something that we collectively across parties must work very carefully. And that's another good reason why we need to bring in the non-profit sector, faith-based organizations, the community with program and so on. So the danger with politicians, regardless of the party card in their pockets, to develop members of members, to have what we can call clientelism, where you select people to participate in a public work program, not because they're poor, hence we need the job, but because they are your supporters. And you might be a DA councillor, might be an ANC councillor or whatever. That is happening. But it is happening. It's something that we need to be careful about. So I wanted to agree with you. I don't know about the facts that you're coming forward with, but what I am saying is correct. We must not barely pass a political transition. Then just, you mentioned that our friend from PNG is not South Africa. I don't know if that's true or not. But the other thing is true.
It is true.
Okay, well then, yeah, there's no problem at all. But you see, we're very good at beating ourselves. I think the implication that you were saying is, oh, no, it's a bit awkward, but he's giving away information and stuff. There's a very interesting article, I don't know if the colleague, maybe the researcher can get it for, in The Economist, I think it was 2 weeks ago, in the London-based The Economist, on basically on public works around the world, about public buildings and things that are distributed to my colleagues. It's very interesting to read. In the United States, according to The Economist, I'm not sure if I got this figure out, there's something like the federal government hasn't got a clue of what's going on with something like $400 billion, so that's about $420 trillion now with the rand slipping again, $420 trillion rands worth of public buildings. They're not on the asset register, they haven't got the foggiest idea, some are not occupied, except for some of the problems we've got. Now, obviously, we aim to do much better than the U.S. federal government in terms as a Department of Public Works in South Africa, and we possibly are, I don't know. But I'm not saying that we use that as an excuse. The same in Greece, the same in a whole lot of European countries. So we
we must get our asset register right. Of course we must do that, and we must really set tough targets ourselves. But, you know, as South Africans, we often cringe and think we're terrible and useless and so on, and we mustn't be kind of, but it's also good. I'm looking at the DMG when you write the report. To say, there's hardly an excuse for us underperforming. But also we sometimes get ourselves, you know, we've still got a colonial mentality, white South Africans as well as black South Africans, other people, South Africans, and we're useless, and especially when blacks take over, what happens and so on. We must really break out that. We must get our act together, we must head in the right direction, but at the same time, you know, often, I want to go. Okay, yeah, those were the sort of contextual points I wanted to make. Just to say that I think that, I suppose the last point is, let's remember all of this, all of the hard questions you're asking, correct questions you're asking us, are questions that we are supplying to you through our own interdisciplinary process. So it's not something we're hiding, we're trying to fix you. This is what we've got. We agree with you, these problems. Let's together try to work out what, you know, what the healing and what the solutions are. So I think that, so thank you for the hard questions. They're the ones that have to ask them, I don't really but I think you should also thank them, and I'm also thanking them for bringing something that we didn't used to see in the past in Parliament. As best as we can, honestly tend to be self-reflective and self-critical rather than to try and list or cover up or just give you a pretty picture. So, you know, I'd like to, as Deputy Minister, thank my colleagues, because I didn't have any responsibility for this. So for the mistakes that they're there, the good things are also there. So I just wanted to try and contextualize what we're seeing in that way. But thank you, Dave. Thank you for giving me a platform, which I didn't use electorally. I didn't use it. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. I think we need to close this meeting. We'll come to the end of the meeting. Firstly, I'd like to thank the Department of Public Works for the honesty that they always present to us, as we agreed that we need to be honest for the good of South Africa. And also to thank my aging committee members. You know, they are doing their work. No, they are really aging, but they are really trying to do their work. You can see all of them. And thank our staff members and Deputy Minister. Thank you very much for attending our meeting. And the honor that you give us as a portfolio committee for attending. Thank you very much. The meeting is closed, but a very big but. The two of us will be having a meeting with the DG. I don't know, the DG will have to select. We need to talk about something. The two of us, I'm a chairperson. So we need to clarify some of the things before compiling our report that we must leave for the incoming committee. Thank you very much. The meeting is closed.